following audio is from the Lifeway Church. For more information about the Lifeway, please visit our website at www.thelifeway.org.
Now this morning, we have a special treat for you, and one of the things that I absolutely love is, as a church, we are a part of the Association of Related Churches, which you hear me often refer to as ARC. And ARC is a worldwide church planting organization. In fact, today there are four churches in the United States that are holding their first service this morning through ARC. And I know we already had our generosity talk, but I just got to throw this out there. Those churches that are launching today really have been supported by a portion of what you give here. We actually send to help plant other churches like ours, and so it's really exciting. In fact, there's actually a church in Europe that is actually launching an ARC church, their first service as well today, but they kind of count that and look at that a little bit differently. But anyway, it's really exciting to be a part of a group that's really making a difference. And so one of the things that Shyla and I have fallen in love with as it stands with ARC is that there is a great community and brotherhood of like-minded people. In fact, last year I joined Brotherhood Coaching Network, and Brotherhood Coaching is for pastors, and what I do is twice a year I travel into Atlanta and basically get taught. And, have you ever been to a conference where it feels like you're drinking from the fire hose, like they just turn it on and you just try to take as much as you can take in? And so one of these gentlemen is Matt Keller. In fact, when Shyla and I went through our training to plant the Lifeway Church seven years ago, we actually went to Matt Keller's church in Fort Myers, Florida, and man, they taught us how to build carts, and they taught us how to put big wheels on everything. Listen, this church wouldn't be what it is today if it wasn't for our partners in ARC, and especially Matt Keller and Next Level Church. And so today I have something, we don't do this very often, but I just came across this message. I just felt it would be so important for us to share. So just why don't you go ahead, take out your service guide, your sermon outline, and we're going to let my dear friend, Pastor Matt Keller, he's going to teach us today a great message. And so just want to direct your attention to the screen behind me.
What's up, everybody? Hey, this is Matt Keller, founding and lead pastor of Next Level Church in Fort Myers, Florida. And I'm so excited because your pastor wants to share with you today a message that I delivered to our church a few months ago. It's all about divine setups in our life. And so you guys, we love you. We're so pumped for your church. And I just believe that this is going to be a right now word for so many of you who are participating in the service today. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to prepare your heart. Come on, right now, prepare your heart, prepare your mind. Let's give God permission to speak to us, because I believe that this message has the power to transform your mindset about how God is at work in your life forever. Lean in, take notes, get ready, enjoy.
God is in our midst this weekend, and God wants to do something. He already has started that work that he wants to do, something special, something extraordinary, something supernatural even, in our midst. So let's open our hearts to that. Let's open our hearts to that. And I want us to look at a very familiar story. And so if you have your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 6. If you have a smartphone with a Bible app or a Next Level Church app, the verses are in there as well. You'll find it when you search inside of there for this week's message. John chapter 6. Now, this is one of the most famous and familiar Bible stories in the life and ministry of Jesus ever. It's the feeding of the 5,000. Everyone, come on, show of hands, whatever location you're at. Come on, show of hands. You know the story where Jesus does a miracle and feeds 5,000 men plus women and children. So theologians tell us there are probably over 10,000 people. Okay, come on, one more time. Raise your hands if you know the story. Good, nice and high. Awesome. Put them up even higher. Hey, why didn't you do that the first time? This is one of the most famous stories of all of Scripture and all of the life and ministry and teachings of Jesus. And yet, here's what I want us to do. In John chapter 6, there's one verse in this passage, in this story, that honestly jumped off the page at me a few weeks ago when I was reading this story in my personal devotion time. And I felt so strongly about it that as we were heading into this weekend, I thought, you know what, I want to share that word with our church, because I think this is a word for some of us. So John chapter 6 is where we're going to begin, starting in verse 1. Let's read it together. Here's what it says. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Okay, time out. What's going on here? So Jesus is in the midst of his earthly ministry, and everywhere he goes, he's praying for people, he's healing people, he's teaching people. Well, by this time, he's become rather famous. And so there are a lot of people who are following him around, listening to his teachings. And so Jesus gets in a boat and crosses the Sea of Galilee until he gets to the other side. But the people who were with him when he got in the boat were so excited, think of this, that Jesus cut the corner and went straight across the water, while all of the people, it says, ran around the entire lake to meet him on the other side. They were so mesmerized, so captivated by the teaching of Jesus that they couldn't get enough of him. So he goes across the lake, they go around the lake. That's what's happening. Why? So they can be a part of the teaching of Jesus. Verse 3. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. See, there's scriptural evidence that we are supposed to sit when we teach the word of God. Just kidding. He went up on a mountainside, sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, so he sees this mass of thousands and thousands and thousands of people gathering on the hillside to listen, to be a part of the teaching for this entire day, he said to Philip, he turns to one of his disciples named Philip, and he asks him a question. Look at the question he asks him right here, look. Where are we going to buy bread for all these people to eat? Can you imagine me and Philip? Like, excuse me? Lord, there's like 12 of us. Like, there's 10,000, 15,000 of them. You're not serious, are you? Where are we going to buy bread for all these people to eat? And then look what Scripture records right here. This is the verse that jumped off the page at me. He asked this only to test him. For he, Jesus, already had in mind what he was going to do. Really? Seriously, Lord? He said this only to test him. This is a divine setup. Like, Jesus is punking Philip. It's a setup. Hey, next level question for you. You ever been set up? You ever been part of a setup? Anybody? Come on, show of hands. Come on, Gateway. I know all of you. You've been set up. Yeah. Right? Like, maybe it was a surprise party. It was a setup. Now, they did it in love, right? Like your family, your friends, like they set it up, right? So they planned this whole thing for weeks, maybe even for months, you know, this big surprise party keeping you completely in the dark. And somebody arranges a cool night out for you and a buddy to go to a movie. But then when your buddy picks you up, he's acting weird. You can't figure out why he's acting so strange. You can't figure out why he's driving out of the way and kind of circling around and stopping at the gas station three times to pick up another soda. And you're like, dude, what are we doing? He's like, well, and he's like, okay, what? It's a setup. It's a setup. Now, here's the deal. I just want you to know this about Matt Keller. I do not like surprise parties. For me. I mean, I'll be a part of your surprise party. Like, that, sure, that's fun. But my staff, my family, my team, like, they know, hey, no surprises for Callahan, man. Like, don't do it. Like, do not. I don't want to be surprised. I want to be a part. If we're going to have fun, I want to be a part of planning the fun. Don't surprise me with the fun. I want to be a part of the plan. Anybody else feel that way? Anybody? Come on. Yeah, I knew you were out there. I saw you. Surprise party. What is it? It's a setup or a scavenger hunt. Right? Scavenger hunts are a setup. Somebody knows what's going on, and so they're leading us from clue to clue to clue to clue to clue to get us to discover, to learn something, to figure something out. It's like those escape rooms. Anybody, come on. Anybody ever been to an escape room? A few of you. It's a setup. Probably almost every single one of us who are participating this weekend have been a part of a setup at some point in our life, like Philip was a part of one. But let me ask us let me take the question a step deeper. Have you ever been part of a divine setup? Where you look around at the circumstances and they seem impossible? And you look up to heaven and you go, really, Lord? Really? Anybody? I have a feeling that those of us who have been walking in faith with Jesus for any period of time know exactly what I'm talking about, because you at some point or another have been a part of a divine setup. See, here's what I want us to understand this weekend, Next Level. If we're going to follow Jesus closely, like Philip followed Jesus closely, then there are going to be seasons of our life that we are a part of a divine setup. Jesus knew in advance what he was going to do. And yet he still turned to Philip and is like, oh no, what do we do? And he leads Philip into this long divine setup for a reason. And that is what I want to talk about this weekend. Maybe you want to write some notes down, because I have five observations that jumped off the page at me from this oh-so-familiar story of Scripture. Five observations about divine setups. And here's the first one. Number one, divine setups are painstaking, difficult, frustrating, and hard. Isn't it true? Divine setups are painstaking, difficult, frustrating, and hard. When you and I face a difficult situation in our life, when you and I get a pink slip in our life, when a bad medical report comes our way, when a relationship ends in an abrupt, awful, sort of discombobulated, sort of painful way, it's hard. Divine setups in our life are never easy. Jesus looks at Philip and he's like, there are 15,000 people on the hillside, Philly Phil. What you gonna do, bro? That is not a fun day for Philip, okay? Nobody wants to be Philip in this story. Divine setups are painstaking, they're difficult, they're frustrating, and they're hard. Nothing about this situation was fun for Philip. So I recently had the opportunity to be a part of a setup like this. I don't know if you know this or not, but we here in Fort Myers have reached the big time. We now have an escape room. Anybody? Anybody been there yet? Okay. So we decide a couple times a year, our different departments and teams at our church do like little fun, off-site fun day type of things, fun days, okay? So our office decided that it would be a fun day for us, for team building's sake, to do an escape room. So they set this whole thing up and they plan the whole deal right. And okay, I don't know much about it. And I got a busy morning that day and I'm going through my deal and I'm doing the thing and all of that. And they're like, all right, it's time to go. So we load up in the car and we drive over to Bell Tower, right near Outback Steakhouse is where this bad boy is. And we go in there and the six of us sit down. And the guy who's working there comes out and he's like, hey, welcome to the escape room. You've chosen the hardest one. And I'm looking at my team. I'm like, what? Okay, and I hadn't eaten well that morning, so I'm already a little fuzzy mentally, you know. And the guy looks at us and he's like, how many of you have done one of these before? None of us. He's like, oh, okay, good. Well, this will be good. You're going to go in this room. I'm going to shut the door behind you. Video's going to pop up. As soon as the video's done, you have 60 minutes. Go. Okay. If you've been around Next Level Church for any period of time, I'm quite certain that you have picked up on the fact that we're kind of strategic around here. One might even use the phrase planners. So to stick me in a room for 60 minutes, a dark room, might I add, and be like, try and get out, suckers, go! Staff fun day. What in the world? So we get in there and he gave us like two little flashlights and we're like going crazy and it's small and I'm like, what in the world? I'm not going to tell you any more about the details of the room except there was a fence in there. And I'm like, what? And I'm kind of like, what? And so we're trying to figure it out and it's an escape room and the whole time we were horrible. We failed, okay? We failed. We didn't get out. It didn't work. It was awful. We had no idea what we were doing. I actually think we have a picture of us because they have signs for people like us. Here's what it says. Unbelievable. Wanted. Nice, Pastor Kyle. Better teammates. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. We lost. We absolutely lost. We have no idea. See my sign? We have no idea. That's the reality that we were living in for 60 minutes. No, truth be told, it was actually quite fun in a frustratingly sort of what in the heck is going on kind of fun way. Setup. It was a setup. So here's what we did. After the 60 minutes, we're like, wow, what just happened to us? And how did we do so bad? So we went to Outback for lunch, and we spent the next hour and 30 minutes debriefing about everything we learned in a small, confined living space called an escape room for 60 minutes, okay? But here's what I learned, and here's what Philip quickly learned in our story. Ready? Number two, write it down. Divine setups are accelerators of our growth. Divine setups are accelerators of our growth. And so here's Jesus putting Philip in this divine setup situation. And here's the reason why. Because Jesus understood, and some of you got to get this. Listen, God brought you to where you are listening to me right now for this moment. I'm just telling you, this is for some of you who are listening to me this weekend. Listen, Jesus understood that we can learn way more in a few days or hours or moments of a divine setup than we can learn in a few months of clear skies and smooth sailing. And some of us, listen, you've been wishing away your problems. You've been wanting more than any, you've been praying that God would give you clear skies and smooth sailing. Is it possible that Jesus' answer to our prayer sometimes for clear skies and smooth sailing is a divine setup? There's Philip looking at a mass of people on a hillside, and Jesus, his master, the one he's given everything to, given up everything to follow, looks at him and puts him in an impossible situation. Why? Because Jesus understood that divine setups can accelerate our growth like few other things can. I'm just telling you, being in that escape room for 60 minutes, we learned more about ourselves. We learned more. You're going to think this is funny. We learned more about each other, and we learned more about God in 60 minutes in that escape room than perhaps what it took days for us to learn, even months. You can never learn that out of a book. Fascinating. It was fascinating how just being in that room, trying to problem solve, trying to figure it out, not knowing where it is. Like for me, I'm a leader, right? But one of the things I learned about myself sitting at Outback, reflecting on our 60 minutes in the escape room was, I'm a leader, but when I can't and don't know the end goal, I shut down. When I can't see the top of the mountain, I don't even know how to look for the bottom of the mountain. And so here we are sitting at Outback, decompressing. Yeah, it was really decompressing, PTSD style. This experience in the escape room, and it was like, wow. Why? Because divine setups are an accelerator of growth. Let's go back to the story. So Jesus looks at Philip, sees all these people on the hillside, and says, what are we going to do? How are we going to get them something to eat? Look at Philip's answer, verse 7. Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Here's the deal. Philip, our boy Philip, is smack dab inside the box. And Jesus is like, how are we going to feed them? And Philip instantly just goes, and lets his thinking go down one small, narrow, little possibility of solution. Lord, we don't have that kind of money. God, we never do that. Lord, what are you talking about? It would take a half year's wages? 6 months wages? 6 months wages for everybody to just get one bite? He's in the box, in the box, in the box, in the box, in the box. Then comes another disciple named Andrew. Look, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Hey, I got an idea. Here's a kid with a box lunch. Here's a kid rolling in with some Long John Silver's action going on up in here. He's got 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. I mean, look what it says. But how far will they go among Andrew's like, and I'll be the first one to tell you, I think this is a bad idea. But it's something. Listen, number 3, write it down. Divine setups are designed to get us thinking differently. Divine setups are designed to get us thinking differently. See, listen, as you and I are maturing in our faith, as you and I are following Jesus, tucking in close behind Jesus for any period of time, there will be these seasons where God will put us in a divine setup kind of situation. And one of the major reasons why is because he wants us to expand our thinking. See, so many of us have gotten so ingrained to think about our life, to think about our career, to think about our finances, to think about our parenting, to think about our marriage, to think about our emotions in one specific way. Well, this is how I was raised. Well, this is where I come from. Well, this is how we do it. Well, this, and Jesus is like, hey, when you enter into relationship with me, it's a whole different ball game, baby. And so often, God will put us in divine setup type of situations like he did with Philip to get us to think differently. And here's what I love about this, and I have taught this concept, this principle, all over the country to leaders for over a decade now. Because I love the fact that Andrew walks into this conversation between Jesus and Philip and doesn't just think about it the same old normal way. You know what Andrew does? He starts looking for bad ideas. Some of you who own businesses, some of you who have teams, who run departments, listen, this is a leadership principle you need to go teach to your team in the next month. Because you have a team who has got their blinders on and they're so inside the box and they're so, this is the only way to do it. Well, this is the only possible way to do it. This is, really? What if you just blew up the box for a minute and brought the worst idea? Here's what I've learned in leadership. Ready? In over 20 years of leadership, here's what I've learned. I have learned that every good idea hides behind about 90 bad ideas. And every great idea hides behind about 10 good ideas. So if you want to find a great idea, a great solution, start naming bad ideas. Why? Because as soon as you start rattling off bad ideas, walls start coming down. Boxes start getting blown up. Barriers start going off. You're like, I don't know. What if we rented the Goodyear blimp? That's a horrible idea. But if you'll trace it, you might end up with balloons. See what I'm saying? Hey, some of you, listen, let me put it back in our life for a second. Some of us have gotten so ingrained with, well, this is how we do, well, this is, and you and your husband, and it's just, well, this, when as soon as he says that, boy, it's on, and you just know. Hey, what if that's not the only way to communicate in a marriage? Okay. For those of you who are in a video service right now, what my little microphone probably didn't pick up is a guy about 12 rows back in this service who just amen me really loud. And that's why we have a prayer team down front. Because that brother needs prayer. No, that's the worst feeling ever. You're hoping other people in the room are going to be like, yes, amen, brother. And you're the only one. Listen, here's what I found. So often in my life, a God idea is waiting behind our willingness to throw out a few bad ideas. Here's a bad idea. Maybe we should go to counseling. Here's a bad idea. Maybe we should start putting God first in our finances. Here's a bad idea. What about, here's a bad idea. What if we did this? Here's a bad, what if we, well, here, and what I've discovered is a God type of solution is usually hiding behind what initially feels and looks and sounds like a bad idea. So Andrew rolls up and he's like, hey, Jesus, this ain't a good idea, but here's a little kid and he's offering to give us his lunch. I'm not sure if you can use it, but something. Look what happens next. Verse 10, Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. Verse 12, he did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Look at this phrase, let nothing be wasted. Number 4, write it down. Divine setups teach us about trust and sovereignty. Divine setups teach us about trust and sovereignty. Listen, trust in God is easy when we can see the path. Trust in God is easy when we're completely in the know about every little detail of our life. But newsflash, that's not trust. It's only when the storm clouds roll in. It's only when we can't seem to see in front of our face. It's only when we feel like we're clueless in a situation. It's only in the midst of a divine setup that true trust in faith in Jesus kicks in. You know what one of the questions, the biggest questions we had about that escape room was? Fascinating. At one point, sitting around our table at Outback, debriefing about being in that little escape room thing for an hour, you know what? It was one of us asked the question, how did it make you feel to know that the guy who was on duty managing the thing that afternoon, running the place, there were cameras in the room and he could see and hear everything we were saying? And because we checked in on Facebook, what up? We didn't just get 2 clues, we got 3 clues. And so at any random time, we could stop and go, hey man, we need a clue. We need some help. And my man would come over the microphone. How about you look under the certain thing for the... Thank you, unseen, all-knowing, powerful, awesome being. I told you, we learned a lot about God. It was crazy. I won't share with you what everybody around the team said. I'll just share with you what I thought. It ticked me off. It made me mad that there was an all-knowing, all-seeing, all-hearing, all-powerful being who knew the right plan and solution for us to get out of that room in time. And he just sat there silent. And some of us are facing the divine setup in our life right now. And you are frustrated that apparently there's an all-knowing, all-seeing, all-hearing, all-powerful being over your life who ain't saying anything. It's a divine setup. And divine setups cause us and stretch us and grow us in our trust and in our trust of God's sovereignty. And unlike the little escape room deal we did a couple weeks ago, our all-knowing, all-powerful, all-seeing creator isn't just making up games for us. He has an agenda. And the end of the story tells us what it is. Verse 13. So they gathered them, these pieces of bread and fish, and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. 12 baskets, you guys, of leftovers. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, look at this, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who has come into the world. Number 5, divine setups always amaze us in the end. What was the point? What was the point of this divine setup? What was the point of taking our boy Philip and putting him in a scenario that on the surface, at the outset, looked cruel, that looked unkind, that looked even devious perhaps by our Lord? What was the purpose of this divine setup? The purpose was that the people who experienced it that day left changed. And the point for Philip was that he left changed forever because he was a part of a divine setup. So what about us? What if you've come into this place today and your life kind of feels like Philip's life? Your life kind of feels like a divine setup. If that's you, I want you to know God is not a mean, cruel, devious God who's just playing tricks with you in a little escape room maze. God is a God of love and grace who loves you just the way you are but isn't content to leave you there. And I believe it's possible that God's brought so many of us, you, to this service this weekend because he's trying to open your eyes. He's trying to help you think differently about your situation. He's trying to get your attention. He's trying to grow your trust in him and his love and his grace and his sovereignty. So here's what I want to do. I want to pray for us. I want to pray that if we are here and we're facing a divine setup, that God would expand our faith this weekend. I want to pray that we would stop cursing our challenge and instead we'd start trusting the God who's greater than our challenge. He already had in mind what he was going to do. Can we bow our heads at every location? And while our campus pastors join me on stage this weekend, I want to pray for you. If you're facing a divine setup, just right where you're seated, would you just slip your hand up right now? You're facing a divine setup. Wow, wow, lots of hands, lots of hands. Just keep them up for a second. Heavenly Father, you see the hands that are raised. Lord, people who are facing a circumstance, a situation that's like, what? What in the world? How did we get here? What do we do now? Lord, we feel like Philip. And so, God, I pray for each one of these who are lifting their hands this weekend. God, I pray that you would meet us in our divine setup like you, Jesus, met Philip that day. God, I pray that you would help us to stop cursing our challenge and start trusting you as a God who's greater than our challenges. And so, Lord, we take our eyes off of our problem and we put our eyes on you, our solution. You are our solution, God. Jesus, some of us are facing some pretty dire circumstances. And so, Lord, I pray your peace that passes understanding would guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus today. God, some of us feel like we have a cloud of confusion over our minds, and you're just going to begin to clear the clouds of confusion away right now, in this moment, right now. God, some of us have been stuck in a rut in our thinking. But right now, today, from this point on, we're going to start to take a different camera angle. We're going to start to see our problem differently. God, give us creative wisdom beyond ourselves that we might see our circumstances from a different perspective, like Andrew did. And so, God, I pray that you would show up in a big way, like you did on that hillside all those years ago. And that the end result of the divine setups of our life would not be frustration or struggle, but the end result would be greater trust in your grace, in your sovereignty, and in your love. Amaze us with what you're going to do through these circumstances, we ask in Jesus' name. And everyone who greets it. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you've been encouraged by it. If you'd like more information about The Lifeway, please visit thelifeway.org.